you would open up this word. Open our understanding to know you, to understand your word. Oh, so that we can be healed.
Right into our hearts. We hunger and thirst for your word and for your righteousness. Praise the Lord. We only have 3 more meetings. Actually, tomorrow I just want 1 meeting so that all the saints can share in the second meeting. I think that's good. I still haven't learned anything. I didn't realize that it wasn't on. Praise the Lord. So it's good if for the 2 meetings tomorrow or in the second meeting we can give all the saints an opportunity to dispense something and share what the Lord has spoken to you in Isaiah. I think it would be very rich and is necessary.
Amen.
Tonight, we come to chapter 9. Let's look at page 6, number 6. Oops, that's the wrong one. Page number 5, point number 6, the resurrected and ascended Christ. Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We already spoke about it in Isaiah 8, chapter 17 to 18. It says, there's an additional sentence, we are for signs and wonders, verse 18. It's very wonderful. And this has to do with chapter 7, with a sign that God will give us. And remember, actually, the 2 sons, the names of the 2 sons were given by the Lord. And surely that had a very important meaning. Everything that comes out of his mouth is important. Each word, all words. God will not say something without meaning. And so these 2 names, Isaiah's children, actually, Isaiah is the Lord himself, according to his name, because Jesus is also Yah, our Savior. And Isaiah, also is Yah, the Lord. Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. So we can see no other prophet speaks so much about salvation as Isaiah does. And his name is actually very similar to the name of our Lord Jesus. So in this sentence, in chapter verse 18, here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders. And here we can see that the Lord, we can see the Lord, and Isaiah is a type of Christ. He points to Christ. And then his sons are also a picture of us. But not the general, all children of the Lord, but a remnant. And if the author of Hebrew, I'm going to tell you one more time, if he did not pick up on this sentence and pointed to Christ, it would be very difficult to see what the real meaning of this word means. But God, in his wisdom, hid it. And the person who wrote Hebrews discovered it. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. And here, in a wonderful way, in Hebrews, it points not only to the death, but also the resurrection of the Lord. And he became the firstborn in his humanity. And we are his many brethren. Remember, in resurrection, the Lord told Mary, go to your brethren, my brethren. Speak to my brethren and speak to them. Is that not wonderful? What should she say? I'm going to my Father, and now is your Father, to my God and your God. That is really a wonderful revelation, and that's why Hebrews also says, He who sanctifies us and we who are being sanctified are of one, us one source, the Father. And for this reason, he is not ashamed to call us brethren. You know, dear saints, this sentence shall really touch your heart. Brothers of the Lord, brothers of Jesus, can you imagine that? I'm sure you have the consciousness that the Lord is your Redeemer. He's your Savior, your Lord, your life. Surely that's not a problem. But as your brother, we have problems to really be conscious, aware of it. Do you often say, Brother Jesus? I don't think any of us ever say in our prayers, Oh, Brother Jesus. Not yet, right? It's still going to happen. It still will happen. Oh, Brother Jesus. How about that, brother? How do you feel when you say, Oh, Brother Jesus? How do you feel? Just good? Do you have a brother at home?
No, I mean a brother in the flesh.
Do you have a brother at home? You have a brother, right? How do you feel about your brother? There is a special relationship. A special relationship. Very intimate. Trusted. Trustworthy. You really can't describe it. You can only experience it. Or you sit here and your brother Timo. There's a special relationship to your brother. My brother is sitting over there. Why do I love him? I don't know. I can't explain it. Do you know why? Because both of us come from one source. We have the same Father. We have the same life. We have the same blood. Yep. That's why there's a special relationship. Really. And this wonderful relationship is expressed in this sentence.
And the author of Hebrews took it out, grasped it, and took it. And the Lord is not ashamed to call us brethren. Isn't that wonderful? This relationship is a unique, once-in-a-lifetime relationship. Praise the Lord. Then we also see that we want to trust in the Father. And now we come back. Many believers don't want to have this relationship. Many believers don't even know the life. The relationship to God is a religious relationship. You only come once on Sunday for 1 hour, then you go home. That's not a relationship. Really, a real, intimate connection to Him. So, John said, who does not love the brethren whom you can see, how can you love him whom you do not see? Who is the Father? How can you love him? So this wonderful relationship depends on this one source, and we have to see that. And the work that the Lord wants to do in us is a work of sanctification. Praise the Lord, because the Father is holy. There are so many relationships that we need to lay hold of, to grasp, to understand. In this one verse, it's very wonderful. But then, in this verse, it also shows that not all want to remain faithful. That's why there is Shar Jashub. That means a remnant will return, not just to Zion, but to Him. Not only to Zion, but to Him. Then, if we don't want to, then quickly there will be... Oh, speed the spoil, hasten the booty, and the judgment will come. So it'll come quickly. And that is a terror. The day of the Lord will come quickly. It's a terror. What a wonder, and what a sign. Praise the Lord. Is that clear? Is it clear? No? I can't do anything about that right now. Okay. Further revelation concerning the Messiah in chapter 9. And you know the Messiah King. Not only the Messiah. For us believers, Messiah just means Christ, the Savior, our Redeemer, but not in the Scriptures, among the people of God. Among the people of God, the Anointed means the King. And the King came to establish His kingdom, Zion. And the entire book of Isaiah speaks about the goal of the kingdom. Now, let's go to chapter 9. Let us read together. Verse 6 in English. I don't know why it's that way, but that's how it is. So we read verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. So wonderful. Of course, at his time, Isaiah didn't realize that there would be a period of about 2,000 years where the Lord would bring in the new covenant. That was a mystery in the new covenant, the old covenant. And in Ephesians, Paul said it was hidden in God. And it was revealed through the apostles and the prophets. At his time, he didn't see it. And that's why they always thought, when this Messiah is going to come, the kingdom will come with him at the same time, because that's what it says right here. It's written. But it's because this wonderful mystery of the new covenant at this time was hidden. This is the wisdom of God. Praise the Lord. But today we have to see it. Then we can understand this. But we still have to see clearly what the goal of the Messiah King is. It's not just about salvation and redemption so we won't be lost in eternity, so that we can escape God's judgment. Then they think they're all going to go up there. What are you going to do up there? They don't know. No one can say what they're going to do in heaven, because it wasn't written. But it is written that the Lord will come back and will bring his kingdom on this earth. Establish his kingdom on this earth, and he will be king over all nations. He will reign over them, and we will reign with him on this earth from eternity, forever and ever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That means it will surely come to pass. For this reason, our future and our goal has to be before our eyes very clearly. This picture has to be before our eyes clearly. We are waiting for the coming kingdom, or the coming of the kingdom. And we have to prepare ourselves for the kingdom. There's a lot to do to rule over the nations. That is not simple. It's not an easy task. Praise the Lord. We have to see this. We don't have time to read all the verses verse by verse. But verse 6, let us see it together. For unto us a child is born. The word choice here is very important. A child is born, just as a man, a normal man. He's a child. A child is born. This refers to the humanity of the Lord. He is a true man. And this afternoon we saw how important that is. We don't have to emphasize this. Here we also wrote in the outline, a son is given. The Son of God As God, he was not born. No, it would be terrible if we flipped it. No, the Son of God was given. He was not born. Remember, the Lord said, before Abraham was, what did he say? I am. That means the Son of God was surely not born. John said already from the beginning he was by God, and he even was God himself. So as Son of God, he is not born. No, you can't say that. That's why the Jews didn't recognize him. What? How could you be Abraham? You're not even 50 years old. They thought they were really smart. Then the Lord said, before Abraham was, I am. I already am. Because the Lord said, Abraham was longing to see my day today. Abraham, do you know him? Do you know him? Of course. I even visited Abraham in those days. Go read the Bible in Genesis. I believe if the Lord would have said that, they would have stoned him immediately. What? You said you visited Abraham and drank coffee with him? Of course, not coffee during that time. God is wonderful. We have to see how wonderful. How wonderful this Son of God is, this God-man. Very wonderful. Unto us a Son is given. This is a divine gift. When God loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. To the Samaritan woman, he told her, if you knew the gift of God and knew who was speaking to you, many times we don't know. We don't know. That's why we don't trust him fully. If we knew him as he really is, you would have no problem in trusting him and believing in him, to fully depend on him. But because we don't know him well, we know the teachings, we know the verses, but we don't know him. That's why we don't have the confidence. We doubt. We depend on ourselves. We're afraid. We don't do certain things. And when we preach the gospel, oftentimes we're scared. We don't have any confidence, and so on and so forth. This is because we have not fully grasped this Christ. That's why it's no wonder Paul said, I want to know him. Do you think Paul didn't know him? Yes, but not enough. Not enough. For this reason, Isaiah wanted to describe this wonderful Christ in a summary, in few words. He wanted to reveal him as man and as God. And here we can see that it refers to the divinity of Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. That's why Colossians 2 verse 9 says, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We're dealing with the living God himself. Sometimes we don't realize whom we're dealing with. With whom we're dealing. We are dealing with this wonderful person who not only was a perfect man, but was also the Almighty God. It goes on.
Amen.
Amen. And the government will be upon his shoulder. The entire government for the whole universe. Can you imagine that? In Revelation, it says, this Christ is the ruler over all the kings of the earth. My. So great. Our Lord, who's sitting on the throne, is so great. Not as God, but as a man. That's wonderful. That God is sitting on the throne, I often say this, that's not a wonder. It's not a miracle. Of course, he's God, and as God, he's sitting on the throne. That's not a wonder for me. But as a man, just as you and just as me, there's one sitting on the throne up there. That, for me, is a great wonder. Yes. And this wonder shows that that is your calling. That is the reason why God created us to be with him and to rule and reign with him over this whole universe. Unfortunately, today, the whole world lies in the hand of the evil one. Seemingly, Satan is still ruling. Why? Because God is waiting for us. If the Lord himself would be the king by himself and not us, he could already be ruling today. It wouldn't be a problem. He wouldn't need to wait. Then you should ask, what's he waiting for? He's waiting for us. Remember, he is only the head. Where's his body? We are the body. Can you imagine that there's only a head sitting on the throne? That's a little strange. Strange. He is waiting for us. We have to realize this and know this. So wonderful. And the whole goal is that he, including us, will reign together. Praise the Lord. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Not on your, especially not today, not on my, not on the shoulder of the elders or the Pope. There's, of course, there's no Pope in the Bible. Really, you can't find it. But it is on his shoulder. Who is more qualified than our Lord to carry all the responsibility? Amen. And then it says, and his name will be called Wonderful. In Hebrew, the word wonder, he is just a wonder. The man himself is a wonder. He's not just wonderful, he is the wonder itself. What can he not do? Such a person, in him, the fullness of God lives in him bodily. And still, he's a perfect man without sin, without leaven. So wonderful. What could he not do? He can do everything. Read the four Gospels again. First, in the Gospel of Matthew, he's the king. And in the Gospel of Mark, he's a slave. And in the Gospel of Luke, he's a true man. And the Gospel of John, he's God. Is that not a wonder? He's the lion. On the right side, he's the lion, the king. And on the other side, on the left side, he is what? The bull. He's a servant. Did the Lord not say, he who's the greatest among you shall be the ruler? That's what the world does. But in the heavenly kingdom, it's the kingdom of heaven, it's completely different. The greatest shall be the slave, the servant of all. But with us, the greater I am, if I'm the greatest, then I rule. Without any shame, I rule over the saints. So ugly. The young people were fighting amongst each other. Who is going to be the greatest? Of course the Lord is the greatest. Then why do they still fight amongst themselves who is the greatest in the kingdom of heavens, even though the greatest is already standing in their midst? That's a strange question. That's so...
So foolish.
Thank you. But our Lord, he is the Lion of Judah, a king. But this king, as he came, he was a slave to serve. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. What would you rather be? To be served or to serve? What do you prefer, brother? To serve or to be served? What do you think is higher? To serve. Do we practice that? Very difficult. You think the workers who go to your place are there to serve? You tell me. I don't think so. I know them. I know it. They want to rule over the churches. But the Lord is not like this. If we just see this wonder of a person and see him and behold him, then it's very different from what we do today amongst the Christians in many groups, even in all the groups. And what does this show us? That shows us that we don't know him. We do not know him. Even though we believe in him, that's easy, but to know him is not so easy. I believe in the existence of Clemens. That's not a problem. I believe. I see him once or twice a year. I know that's Clemens, but I don't really know him. I need more time to get to know him. Maybe I have to come. He said, come. I'll be your neighbor. Oh, be careful. We have to get to know this wonderful Christ. Truly. That is your privilege, your right, your privilege. The new covenant shows and says they will know God. They will all know God, from the smallest, the youngest, to the oldest. That is your covenant. That's your privilege. Of course, if it's about theology and knowledge, like the scribes and the Pharisees, you can't know God. I'm sorry for the disciples. But to know the living Father, there is no age limit. Right? Emmanuel is almost 11, soon, and his sister is already, was 4 and is 5. Both know the Father who's sitting next to them. Not through any kind of school, not through books. No. You want to know this living Father? You have to be born into the family. And the youngest knows Papa as much as the big one knows him, or not? Yes. See? You see? This is how we need to know this wonderful God. The word is just an aid, a help, but you have to enter into the experience. Otherwise, you will not know him. Praise the Lord. So here we can see how wonderful this person is. Then the Gospel of John shows that he is has the face of the eagle, the heavenly. He is from the bosom of the Father. He came from the bosom of the Father, from heaven. He's heavenly, God. And at the same time, he is a man in the Gospel of Luke, a true man, so balanced. That's why we see the cherubim, they have 4 faces. Praise the Lord. That shows how wonderful this Christ is. We cannot fully grasp him. On the one hand, he was the Lamb. And now in Revelation, he's the Lion of Judah. Is that not wonderful? And that's why his name is Wonder. He can do so much. This man is a wonder of wonders. Praise the Lord. Then he's the Counselor. I really like this a lot. You just need forgiveness, right? You need help when you're in difficulty. But he's the Counselor. We already mentioned Colossians. In him, in that man, in this God-man dwells. He knows everything. His wisdom is unlimited, limitless. He doesn't just know what is today and what was in the past. He also knows what the future is. He is. He was. And he is the one to come. All 3 tenses, past, present, and future. He is. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? You just know what happened yesterday. You don't even know what's going to happen tonight, later, at midnight. You don't know what's going to happen at midnight. No one knows. If you do not know, then you are not a counselor. Then you're just an uncounselor. Not a real counselor. I don't know why so many Christians like to counsel. Really. Many times I don't dare to counsel or give advice. Ask some of the young people. He's my witness. This young man. Many times earlier, he asked for counsel. Why to me? Go to the boss up there. He gives you the counsel. So eventually he stopped asking. And today, almost rarely. I think he finally realized that I'm not really a counselor, a rubbish, a garbage counselor. How can I tell you what to do tomorrow if I don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow? And who is the only one who knows? If not this heavenly counselor, we pretend or we come off as being so wise to man. I can only pray for you. I can't counsel you. If I do something, I don't know what it is. Maybe you can speak about something generally, but really, what you need to do, go to him. My name is John. My name is not counselor. There is someone whose name is counselor, and if you know him, go to him directly. Do it. I want to tell you, according to the experience, if you go to many people who are not counselors, you hear this, hear that, in the end, you will be confused completely. And you will just get a rat. In English, a rat. And it stinks. In German, the word rat means counsel. And you'll hear garbage from him and him and him. And then, in the end, what you receive is not the truth. For this reason, learn to come or go to him. He will tell you the truth. And that's why John chapter 2, verse 27 and 27 says, the anointing which you have received from him, the Holy One, he abides in you and teaches you all things and is truth and is not a lie. The anointing will never lie to you. But man, yes. His name is Counselor. Praise the Lord. Go to him. Learn. Have an ear to hear what the Spirit wants to speak to us. And especially if we serve as priests in the priestly service, all the more we should know the Urim and the Thummim in the breastplate of the high priest. We can go to him for all kinds of instructions and receive them from him. What more can I say, right? This wonderful counselor is one whom we all have to know. Many say, I don't hear him. Then tell them, heal my deafness. Give me an ear to hear, please. I need healing. Then you will learn to be a man who doesn't want to listen to any gossip, to nonsensical stuff. Gossip? What? What? Really? What did you say about him? Again? But if the Holy Spirit speaks, what? I don't hear anything. But if someone is gossiping about someone else, you're completely ear. You even have elephant ears. Suddenly, your ears are so great. You hear everything. If we are such a one, then don't think that you hear this voice of the Holy Spirit. And we all have to learn. My ear must be saved with the blood of the consecration offering here on the lobe. On the one hand, anything that is evil and bad, you have to filter it out. You have to have a built-in filter. Any bad voices, you know, you have these headphones, noise-canceling headphones. What's the German word? Depressing the sound. Sound reduction, whatever it's called. But you know what I'm talking about. We have to have a lie eraser or a lie reducer, gossip reducer. You have to have that built in and only allow the voice of the Holy Spirit come in very, with much clarity and even amplified. Lord, build that into my ear. I don't want to believe everything, no. And we have to practice this and learn it. Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to receive instructions from you. Praise the Lord. What a counselor. Amen. Lord. Of course, he's also the mighty God. Isaiah, in other chapters, he showed so clearly how mighty our God is. We don't have to fear. If Emmanuel, God with us, is with us, and he's the Almighty God, who can do anything to us? It doesn't matter. People can do whatever they want, whatever they say. Don't let yourselves get upset, but trust in the Almighty God. We don't have to defend ourselves. Why? Because the mighty God is fighting for us. When it's about a battle, but we have to stand on his side. That is important. And we have already read some chapters and verses before the conference in the prayer. He is the mighty God. If you know him as God, then you don't have to fear any problem or difficulty. Look at the story as the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Should they be afraid? No. Who worked? The mighty God. Yeah. And as Pharaoh chased after them, what happened? Who can split the Red Sea, open the Red Sea? Moses? No, God. And who was buried in it? Pharaoh and all his chariots and army. that was a deed from the Almighty God. With all the battles, God was with them. And each battle they won against Og and Bashan, the giants. Or are you afraid of giants? If we see this mighty God, then we will be like Caleb and Joshua. They said these giants will be bread for us. Tastes good. Yeah. For these two, they really had an excellent spirit. For them, these giants were bread rolls or pretzels. Food for us, they said. Not because they were so brave, but because they knew the mighty God. They did not forget all the wonders, the wonders that only God could do since they came out of Egypt until that point in time. But the others forgot. They only saw the giants. We have to know this wonderful Christ as the mighty God. Then you do not need to fear. Why do we fear man? Is the elder God a prophet? Is he God? Especially a prophet that lies? He's the tail? People who lead the flock to error, are you afraid of him? I don't understand why we fear man. There is a word in the New Testament, especially from Paul, also from James, with God, there is no
partiality.
Partiality of persons. As Paul went to Jerusalem, he said, it doesn't matter to me, even those who are esteemed, if they are standing there, the respected ones. Esteemed or not, what does esteemed mean? Only the Lord is the one who is esteemed. Only the Lord receives esteem. Only He is the greatest. What are we? It's a horrible thing if we esteem people and respect people in the house of the Lord. It's to be despised if this happens. If we have learned this, then we'll learn, as the Lord said, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. It doesn't matter if you're standing before the president or before the pope or before the pastor or the elder. It doesn't matter before whom. There's no partiality or no respect of a person. We have to learn this. In the last 50 years, I saw so much a respect for people, and that destroyed everything. In the end, you just see man, and you don't see Christ who's sitting on the throne. It's sad. I tell you from my heart, so that especially the young generation can learn this. And if you don't learn this, I can't do anything about it. Then that mistake is your mistake. Your blood will not come upon my head. It's very important to learn this. Praise the Lord. Trust and behold this mighty God. He alone has all the power. He's not just mighty, he's almighty. He is all-knowing. He is omnipresent. Praise the Lord for the mighty God. And when you read the whole Bible, especially in Acts, you can see how God was with him. You can see if God is with us, everything is good. Even if they kill you, it's good. It's wonderful. It doesn't matter. And the eternal Father, everlasting Father, Abba, Father. This name, Abba, is a loving, intimate relationship of life. It's between a son and a father. And we see this relationship between the Lord Jesus as a man and the Father. The Father loves the Son. How often did the Lord Jesus say that? And the Son loves the Father and did everything that was well-pleasing to him. And the Father loves the Son and shows him everything. Do you want the Father to show you everything? What's the mystery? What's the secret? You have to love him. You have to love him. And here's this wonderful love relationship between the Son and the Father. And this relationship is what the Lord wants to show us and bring us into this fellowship and relationship of love with the Father. He wants to bring us into this relationship. That is why God is not only light, but love. And as love, He is the Father. The love of the Father is great. All who are fathers can testify this. Or, right? Teo, are you a father? Is your name God? Theo. Theo in Greek is God. Do you want to be God? No, of course not. But you are a father. Do you love your children? Do you do everything for them? Yes. You see? And the Heavenly Father, won't He do everything for you? Paul says, how can He withhold anything with His Son from us? Of course, He's going to give everything good to you. What's not good for you, He's not going to give you. Praise the Lord for such an everlasting Father. That's why the Lord could say, I and the Father are one. I in Him and He in me. That is a wonder. It's a miracle. Oh, time. It's really a wonder, a miracle. And He's also the Prince of Peace. Amen. If we truly, really truly know the Lord, peace will reign over us. Not fighting, but peace. We have a song, and the song says, the world desires oneness, unity, and peace. To long for it is one thing, but whether they have it, that's another thing. We also. We speak of oneness. And in the end, we cut them off, cut people off. That's a cutting oneness. Everything that I don't like, I cut it off. That is the oneness that I've seen in the past years. You speak of oneness, but you see the opposite. You speak about love, but you see hate. I hope that we would know this Prince of Peace. The Bible says, He is our peace. Christ is our peace. We have to treasure this and appreciate it in the church. May the Lord really open our eyes to see this wonderful Christ. His kingdom is a kingdom of peace. A kingdom of peace, a peaceful kingdom. Praise the Lord. If we don't know this Christ as our peace, a Prince of Peace, in 2 or 3 years, we will go apart again. It's just a matter of time. Or if we stop growing and don't continue to go on with the Lord, there will be unrest again. Or if we fall into our flesh, there will be no peace. But peace is not just in the church. How can there be peace in the church if there is no peace in your home? You fight with your wife daily, I argue with my wife daily, and you hit the kids daily at home, and he's always criticizing everything, and then we come into the church and want to have peace, and we speak a good message about peace. Then I have to say, for God's sake, that is not the peace that we see in the scripture. That is not the living Christ. Our Christ is the Prince of Peace. His name is the Prince of Peace. That means he rules over us in peace. And if he really rules and reigns in you and me, do you think we will fight? It's impossible to fight. So praise the Lord. This is all very practical. And it should be our experience to reach the goal with the Lord.
Amen.
Then it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David. He is the branch of David. Praise the Lord. Oh Lord, I hope that from now on until the coming of the Lord, that his government and peace, there will be no end amongst us. Not a human peace. Human peace we can find in UNO. Oh, the United Nations. That is not a real peace. The more they talk about peace, the more they fight. On the one hand, they speak about peace. On the other hand, they produce bombs. You don't know if they have peace or whether they want to kill you. It's very dangerous. Peace bombs. Bombs of peace.
Amen.
Oh Lord, we thank you. Over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. And that is the foundation of peace. Judgment and justice, righteousness and truth. Then we will have peace. If we are not for the truth and we are not righteous, just anymore, we don't see any justice, then there's going to be a mess and there won't be any peace. And it says, from that time forward, even forever. Amen. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God is zealous to do this. And we also. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He has a zeal. He's jealous for the church with a godly zeal. Amen. So this is how we are going to finish the meeting and bring the meeting to an end. I hope the Lord will bless us out of Zion. Amen.
We praise you for your wonder.